And a good afternoon, everyone. Time for Taco Tuesday on Q92. We get together every week with Amber Boyens, registered dietitian nutritionist with Immunutrition right here in Madison. How are you doing, Amber?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. Another nice week for us here, weather-wise.
Yeah.
Get out and enjoy it, but eat properly.
That's right.
That's what you go. That's your advice, right?
Always.
At all times.
And we're done. Yeah.
That's right. Okay, well, that's the show for today.
Just eat well. Yeah.
Now, today we're going to talk about plastics in your food.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, do we have plastic in our food?
We do. We kind of have plastic everywhere.
It doesn't sound good.
It doesn't sound good. And, you know, I don't, I say all the time that I don't like fear-based nutrition. And that's not what this is about. And I think it's really important to just kind of preface that, because if you look online and you Google plastic in our food, there's going to be a lot of information that comes up, some of it kind of sensationalized, some of it kind of dismissive, and then some stuff that's kind of in the middle. So some people may have heard a few years ago a thing came out that said on average people consume roughly a credit card's worth of plastic per week, or 50 plastic bags per year, which is kind of a lot.
It is.
If you think about eating an entire credit card.
Or a plastic bag.
Or a plastic bag.
I tried one once and they're really not, they're really chewy.
They are really chewy, yes. I don't recommend consumption.
No, I wouldn't go for that. No.
Yes. And really where that came from is that with the amount of microplastics that we breathe in through the air, that we take in through our food, that we put on our skin, the weight of all of that is equivalent to roughly a credit card per week. So, while people are probably not, like, putting their credit card onto a zester and adding it to their food, there's just a lot of ways that it comes in. So, the biggest kind of plastic that people have heard of is BPA. Have you heard of BPA before?
No.
So, BPA is less common now than it was in the past, but it was banned in things like baby bottles years ago. So, we've had a lot of the bisphenols, like BPA, out of our food supply for a while in products for infants, but not necessarily in all of our food products. So the reason that it got pulled from baby bottles in particular or products for children is because bisphenols are considered endocrine disruptors. And what that means is they can impact our sex hormones and fertility, obesity, diabetes, all of those kinds of things. And to what extent, we don't necessarily know because we're exposed to so many things. It's hard to pin any set of problems or a specific condition on one exposure. But we have seen, especially in animal studies, that bisphenols have a pretty big impact on fertility in animal studies and appear to have that same impact on humans as well. So there are a few different places that plastics in particular come into our food. In packaging.
I was reading that. It's kind of disgusting. I'm a couple of them here, but I'll let you go.
Yeah. And I'm interested to see what you have there too, because plastic can come in our packaged foods. That's a big place. So we talk a lot about ultra processed food. The more heavily processed something is, oftentimes the more plastic it's going to contain too, because it just had more opportunities to be exposed to microplastics from all of the machines that touched it. We already have plastic that probably just grows into our food because it's in our waterways. It's in our soil. It's pervasive in our environment. So some of it just seems to come into the food.
That goes to what it says here, sewage sludge that they spread on the fields.
Yes.
Industrial waste and that kind of thing, and byproduct left behind after municipal wastewater is cleaned. Is put on the field, and then there's plastic in that, and the plastic gets into your food.
Absolutely. Mm. And anytime you look at waterways, and we've all seen those really sad images of the ocean and huge just like fields, essentially, of plastic. And we know that they're not good for animals, right? I mean, that's why we cut all of our little plastic rings and stuff. And a lot of places have cut down on the number of plastic straws that they use. But it's important for us to think about on an individual level, where can we just limit the plastic that's coming in? Because we can't really do anything on an individual level about how our food is grown necessarily, but we can limit what we're taking in from those packaged foods. So typically, if you're having like a cold, non-cooked food item, it's probably not a big deal. So if you think things like your broccoli that's wrapped in plastic, is there some that gets into your food? Maybe, but that's probably a negligible place. But if we think more about like canned things and packaged things that are in plastic that's been heated, heating plastic is really what helps it leach into our food. And a lot of the canning or a lot of the lining in cans is some form of plastic. It's pretty much always an epoxy of some sort because it's important for the cans to not erode. We need a lining in there. It has historically been BPA in some of our cans, especially like beverage cans still have BPA as the lining. Some soup cans still have BPA as the lining. Some of them just have other acrylic or polyester epoxies. But anytime I hear the word epoxy, it's not necessarily something I want to consume a lot of. Whether it's coming from BPA or polyester is kind of irrelevant. But a study about 20 years ago now found BPA in about 93% of American urine samples. So most of us are taking it in. Now, it's simply being in our urine. We also see it in stool samples. Simply being in our urine or stool is not proof of it being harmful, but we know that it's in our bodies. Another study showed that avoiding packaged foods for 3 days resulted in a 66% drop in BPA levels. And then another study looked at people who ate one serving of canned soup for 5 days. They had BPA levels 12 times higher than those who had eaten fresh homemade soup. So we know that it is getting into our food. We know that we are getting some exposure to it. So the more we can just eat whole foods and limit the amount of exposure we get to the packaged items, the less plastic we're going to take in. And I think just inherently, you know, a lot of the experts will say that we just don't have a lot of research on it, but absence of research doesn't mean research of absence in the effect on our bodies. So just not a bad idea to limit it where we can. We can also get it from our cookware. So I think most people have had nonstick cookware in their house at some point. And nonstick cookware in and of itself is not harmful. But once we even get surface scratches on that nonstick coating, now we can have some of that's leaching into our food as well. The amount varies based on what the coating is. But again, just another place that we get some non-food items leaching into our food. Same thing with plastic utensils. If we leave them in a soup or in something, that plastic isn't really intended to be left in heat. So cooking with things like stainless steel or aluminum, ceramic coated is better, cast iron, copper, and using utensils that are made of wood or bamboo, stainless steel, silicone, ceramic, those kinds of things are just going to leach less into our food.
That's good. The old cast iron cookware and stuff is still pretty popular.
You know,
and it's
again,
a good idea, probably.
It is. And when we talk about what would your grandparents do, a lot of what our grandparents did was really good. Maybe we don't go back to using like lead paint and things like that. But from a food standpoint, a lot of what ancestors did is really just what we're aiming to do now. Eating more locally.
A lot of fresh foods.
Eating more fresh food. Canning our own stuff at home. Putting things in mason jars. And that kind of brings us to reheating and storing foods. If we put hot food into plastic, again, heat is what makes that plastic less stable from a leaching into our food standpoint. So avoiding reheating in plastic, we try to store all of our stuff or most of our stuff in glass. We use mason jars a ton in our house or kind of Pyrex or similar glass containers. Just the more you can lessen what you're taking in through plastic again and where you're using plastic around your food, the better. Now, I think it is important to note that it's not like your body can't process anything out. Our bodies can process out plastic. And when we look at individual foods, the research does show that any individual serving of stuff that we're buying in the store probably has a safe quantity of plastic in it. But the problem is that we're being persistently exposed to it throughout the course of the whole day, every day. So in order for our body's processes to naturally get rid of it, we just need to lessen our exposure in the ways that we can.
I suppose if you eat a lot of microwavable food, then it's in those plastic microwave dishes, heat them up, and that's not necessarily a good thing.
It's not necessarily best.
And a lot of people do that all the time for every meal.
Right. So the occasional exposure, probably not harmful. Your body will get rid of it. But constant exposure, we probably want to limit.
Right. So have a meal of good, fresh food.
Whole food.
Whole food as often as you can.
That's right.
And if they want more recipes and things, you got them.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yes.
How can they find them and how can they find you?
Yep. You can find me online on Facebook at IMU Nutrition. That's IMU Nutrition. Or on my website at imunutrition.com.
All right. Amber, thanks for filling us in and some good information again.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to try to avoid plastics. I'm trying to avoid caffeine too now. So.
I know. We should do one on caffeine next week.
Okay. Maybe that'll be a topic for another day.
There we go.
All right. All right. Thank you, Amber.
Yes, thank you.
That's another Taco Tuesday here on Q92.